students at PCC then, or for you, were not aspiring to use those experiences to springboard them into IBM then?
Oh, no, not at all. We had the philosophy, which we published in each one of our catalogs, that said something like, we believe that the young are never too young to teach, the old are never too old to learn, the natural state of mankind is eternal, ecstatic curiosity. Anybody could teach any course they wanted to. Anybody could take any course they wanted to. They signed up and paid, I think, $10 or $20 as a registration fee, and then they could go to whatever courses they wanted to, leave whatever courses they wanted to, or teach whatever courses they wanted to. I taught a course on To Be Gentle. Having come from Texas, I was very aware that there were better ways to interact with people than the coarse, snarling, chauvinistic ways of Texas. And that became one of the largest courses in the Later Free You. People I taught then carried the course on and taught many other sections of it. The Intentional Community Seminar went on. And later, when Jim Fadiman left, I took over chairing or teaching or leading, if there was leading a leaderless course, the Intentional Community Seminar is something that I was very interested in. But you got no credit for what you were doing. Your credit was that you learned something that interested you. And you didn't take a course because you had to. You took it because, hey, that sounds interesting. Larry Tesler once offered a course. Computer people were sort of, some computer geeks were sort of notorious then and now for not being very friendly with baths and showers. And they could get, I mean, you could sometimes smell them before you could see them. Now, I am a computer geek, so I'm not maligning other people any more than myself. But I think Larry once taught once listed a course in the catalog that was a fake course on how to take showers before going to your group awareness course.
One of the more lasting outgrowths of the People's Computer Company was the Dr. Dobbs Journal, with which you were involved from the very beginning. Tell us about the beginning of Dr. Dobbs Journal and what Dr. Dobbs was all about.
Okay. I had been in a graduate program at Stanford, and after programming for some years, I decided, gee, this is really interesting, and I've developed these peaks of expertise surrounded by huge chasms of ignorance. I'd learned enough to know how little I had learned, and I want to go back and study this and find out about this fun stuff, about these great thinker toys. So I'd gone to Stanford and eventually booby-prized out without a doctorate. I am one of many ABDs, all but dissertations. My thesis advisor called me in a week or two before Christmas in, oh, I don't know, 72 or 73, something like that. No, must have been 75. And said, well, Jim, you do great research, but you just don't write well enough to write a dissertation. I'm cutting you loose of your funding effective the end of this quarter. Merry Christmas. That was okay, because I wasn't getting that far with the project that I had chosen to do. And so I started phoning around. I'd been a computer consultant before then, and very comfortably so. So I started phoning around to friends saying, hey, if you have any consulting work that you don't want, well, pass it on to me. And I called Dennis Allison, and he said, oh, I have just the thing for you. You come right over. Now, this was close to 5 years after the Free University era. This was in the mid-70s. And I went over and had dinner with him, and he said, I have the perfect job for you. People's Computer Company is about to start a new publication called Dr. Dobbs' Journal of Computer Calisthenics and Orthodontia, Running Light Without Overbite, which takes some explaining, perhaps. Bob Albrecht has said, hey, hold it, that's about real programming. I don't know that stuff. I can program in BASIC, but I don't want to do anything with real assembler-level programming. And you, Jim Warren, are just the person to edit this. Basically, he was saying, I know you'll work for little or nothing. And PCC was a nonprofit organization, very nonprofit. And I know you're willing to do fun stuff that you think is worthwhile, and this is. Thus, I became the founding editor of Dr. Dobbs Journal. Dr. Dobbs started its gestation. Its prenatal gestation was that the Altair, the MITS Altair, had come out as the first popular computer, personal computer in a kit form from MITS out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you could buy a computer, buy an honest computer for $397, I think, in a kit, and you had to assemble it. But as soon as some of these started to get circulated around, the hobbyists who had grabbed these things said, well, gee, now I've got it assembled. Now what can I do with it? There's no software. Bob had asked Dennis to write a series of articles that he published in People's Computer Company newspaper about how to design and program and implement a stripped-down version of BASIC, which Dennis called Tiny BASIC. And he published an overall design article in the spring issue, a detailed design article in the summer issue, the final details in the fall issue, and in the last article said, okay, folks, let us stand on each other's shoulders rather than each other's toes. I've told you how to do it. Implement it and send the code to us, and we will publish it and give this free to everybody. I've given you the design for free, you give something back. And the first implementation came in from, oh, I can't remember their names now. They were out of Texas, out of some little town in Texas. They sent us page after page of hexadecimal coded program that implemented this BASIC interpreter on an Altair, with a note saying, here it is, it worked great until we had a power glitch and we lost it. So we have to key it back in, manually key each byte back into the computer from the switch register, but it worked. People's Computer Company newspaper had said, anybody who's interested in this, send us a SASE, send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll send you a copy of it. Well, they got a flood of requests, and as soon as they started sending it out, this was to be a three-issue quickie. The design articles culminated with the implementation. And as soon as they started sending it out, they got this flood of phone calls and emails saying, for God's sake, don't stop now. We need software. At that point, they said, Dennis and Bob said, let's make this a magazine. What should we call it? And it came to be called Dr. Dobbs Journal and so on. Dobbs, incidentally, is short for Dennis and Bob. Journal of Calisthenics and Orthodontia. Well, back in those days, you didn't want to use very many bytes of memory because that memory was expensive. So orthodontia had to do with avoiding overbyte. And calisthenics were computer exercises. And I became editor of it, and next question.